Do you know the answer to this question?
What station, 830 on your dial, will be calling coast to coast, calling America tonight?
If you know the answer, if you don't know the answer to that question...
Man, you're in trouble on Honest to Goodness.
Well, hi there, and a very pleasant good evening to you from Honest to Goodness. We're dropping in a half hour early tonight, both locally and abroad, because of the fact that this is our big one-hour clear channel program. And, of course, the radio station that my partner, Chuckles Chapman, referred to, of course, was the good neighbor station, WCCO Radio, in Minneapolis and St. Paul. Now, the way the program works, I'm Handy Randy Merriman with the cash bag, and we're going to dole out some of WCCO's dough. This is not in assistance to, when I say dole it out, to the President's Poverty Program, because whether you're rich or poor, why, come one, come all, and we'll add $8.30 to your income tax bracket. Dick Chapman is the fastest dial in the Midlands. He will be calling America on the telephone. Is your finger, are you warmed up and ready to...
I've been working on it all day.
Good, buddy, good.
You've heard of sit-ups?
Yes.
And push-ups?
Indeed.
I've been doing finger bends.
Have you now?
Yeah, look at that. Look at how fast I am.
Oh, say, that little son of a gun is really... Well, that just goes to show you how we prepare for the program. Now, Abner, may be referred to from time to time, is our technical man. He is the engineer. He sent away once for a book. And for about 25 cents, he learned how to push the buttons. And he found, though, that the pay was not enough to keep skin and fat together. So therefore, he took up chicken keeping. And he keeps chickens in the control room. And if you can imagine a mess like that, but the boss allows it.
Right. He keeps chickens in the vast wasteland of that control room. See, they have extra space in there. They did until Abner put his chicken coops in
there. So there you know about us. Now we want to know about you. We also have an all-star cast of... people who support our project here that we lovingly refer to as sponsors. Therefore, while we're hearing from this first one, the Minneapolis Federal Savings and Loan folks, we'll be placing this first call to somewhere in America. It may be you we're calling.
Merriman and Chapman for Minneapolis Federal.
I'm here at the ice show, and we're talking to that famous figure skater, Buster Blades. Well, Buster, what do you consider your favorite stunt?
Oh, that's the one where I swing a girl around in my arms 50 times.
That must be very difficult on ice skates.
What ice skates? I'm not wearing skates. I'm just swinging a girl. I'm a swinger, you know.
Will you show us some figure skating?
Sure. Watch this, buddy. Now I'm making a figure 406, which is that big dividend at Minneapolis Federal. And here I go into a design I call the Friendly Tree. And then I spell out so the whole audience can read it, Minneapolis Federal is the most experienced savings and loan in this area, with a solid background of more than 74 years' experience. Minneapolis Federal is better qualified to help you. Every $100 you save at Minneapolis Federal returns $4.06 annually. For thrift or home ownership, see the friendly folks at any of Minneapolis Federal's 8 great branches. There, how's that for an act that's hard to beat, pal?
Say, Buster, will you show me that trick where you spin around 50 times without getting dizzy?
Sure, baby. Watch this. Here I go.
Do you feel dizzy?
No, I feel swell. It never makes me feel woozy or dizzy.
Hello?
Hello?
This is Honest to Goodness calling from WCCO Radio.
Oh, for goodness sakes. Hello there.
Well, for Honest to Goodness sakes.
How are you?
Very good. Is this Mrs. William Gagne?
That's what it is.
And we're talking to you in Oak Harbor, Washington, is
yes,
that right?
Yes, sir.
Well, boy, that's good to reach you there, Mrs. Gagne. Meet Randy Merriman.
Hello, Mrs. Gagne.
Hello, Randy Merriman. How are you?
I'm just fine, thank you. Where is Oak Harbor, Washington?
Oak Harbor is about 90 miles north of Seattle.
Are you anywhere near Fort Lewis, by any chance?
Oh, no, we're north of Fort Lewis.
You're
almost up to Canada.
Are you really?
I was going to say, you're just barely in the country, aren't you? 90 miles north of Seattle.
That's right.
Are you, you must be in Christmas card area. Has there been much snow there, Mrs. Gagne?
Oh, no, they get the snow in Minnesota.
That's true. Now that I recall, you have the Japan current there, haven't you?
That's right. We have prime climate up here.
And things are comparatively green. In other words, your severe weather would be just a little mild rain. Is that right?
That's right. We get our rainy weather in the winter.
Well, Mrs. Gagne, we're so happy to talk to you. Thank you very much for writing to us. Do you hear us once in a while?
Well, we try to get WCCO as often as we can.
That's so nice. You know, I would say this now to you and to all others listening this evening, that our Clear Channel broadcast is no different, as you know, Mrs. Gagne, than any we do at any time on WCCO. We're using the same shovel full of coal on the fire, the same amount of power. And it's just that on this night, we like to reach out and say hello to our many friends who listen to WCCO throughout the country.
Yes, my mother's back there, and I know she listens all the time.
Where does she live?
She lives on Clinton Avenue.
Oh, in Minneapolis.
Yes, sir,
Also, I would add that to people hearing us, you and all others, that if you're listening by a transistor radio, sometimes by just turning the radio a bit, you can get the more powerful side of it. And one of the finest radios you'll find anywhere, naturally, are in automobiles. Not that we suggest you run in, get in your car.
Well, now, no Mrs. phones there.
Yeah,
that's right.
Dick, I noticed on Mrs. Gagne's card that you said something here. You said, I'm still using some aluminumware that I won at the Minnesota Theater.
That's right.
Now, if my memory serves me correctly, I used to be master of ceremonies at the Minnesota Theater many years ago, kind of like around bank night time.
Well, this was upstairs in the Minnesota.
Oh, yes?
And in the stairs up, it was on the radio.
Oh, I indeed. And we had a show program where we gave away prizes and
things.
Yes,
sir,
And you won that aluminumware, and you're still using it.
Yes, I am.
Well, that's something, because your aluminumware certainly outlasted me.
That was prior to my time. I don't understand what you're talking about.
Well,
bank night and all that.
Yeah, I'll bet it was ahead of you. Mrs. Gagne, how long ago did you move away from here?
We moved away, the first time in 43 during the war.
Oh, and do you
And we've been back off and on since then. My husband just retired from the Navy.
Well, wouldn't Mrs. Gagne miss Minnesota right now, though, Dick?
Yes, we have just north of the Twin Cities, Mrs. Gagne, about a foot of snow up around the Iron Range and around
Do
the
Do you really?
Yes. That's right, yeah.
I'd like to be back
It's
there.
A real belt of snow. And well, now, Mrs. Gagne, we would like to send to you as a little Christmas gift from WCCO Radio $8.30. Do you know why we have such an odd figure as $8.30, 830 on our questions?
That's on the dial, is that right?
That's a girl, yes, that's exactly where it is. You know, 830 is where you find our radio station, and so that's why we pay this amount. Now, we have special questions. We suspend our usual question that we pyramid on the regular evenings, and we have little special questions that we hope will not fool you. Dick, what do you think might be good for
How about question number eight there? I think that's a good one. That's a good one.
For a Washingtonian 20 years removed, huh?
Right. Try it. Question number eight.
All right, here we go. Mrs. Gagne, two Minnesota cities are sometimes called the Saintly City and the Mill City. Now, together, they're called the Twin Cities. We ask you to name these two cities.
Oh, yes. Minneapolis and St. Paul.
Oh,
rooted for the Twins all fall.
Right. You rooted for the Twins.
We did.
Good. A West Coaster rooting for the Twins?
Oh, absolutely.
So, wonder they didn't lynch you out there.
No, I should say not. No, no. Those Washington people, you know, they're going our way, and we're glad. We get neighbors from Montana, Washington, that come to see the games.
We still are wearing our Twin hats out here.
Are you now?
Yeah.
I wore mine up till yesterday, and my ears are freezing. Well, now, Mrs. Gagne, I must say to you and to your family, thank you so much for your continued interest
in
WCCO. Yes, ma'am. And now Dick is going to get your mailing address in Oak Harbor, Washington, many, many hundreds of miles from our microphones here in the Twin Cities. Thank you and good night.
Thank you very much.
Mrs. William Gagne, our first guest this evening, and in just a minute we'll make another call. Right now, though, I have some shopping news for people doing shopping. Here's a good thought. You can shop late at Southdale. There's no hustle and bustle to wear you out. Southdale's open every evening, Monday through Saturday, until 9:30. Plenty of time to browse through all the wonderful stores and in perfect springtime comfort, too. Park free and shop late at Southdale. It's the fun way of getting ready for Christmas. Well, let's see now. We have, we had so much mail. Thank you so much for writing to us. I had information here from our audience mail department that in California we heard from Mrs. Ronald Johnson in Glendora, Mr. and Mrs. William J. Seafelt in Santa Clara, Greta Noblet in Hawthorne. From Michigan we had mail from Leo and Carol Christensen in Berrien Springs. In Allendale, Michigan, Miss Judy Vanderveen. That's a pretty name. Detroit, Paul Winkler and Edward J. Ralco wrote to us. And in Ludington on the lake, Esther and Rudy Anderson. And from Boyne City, Mrs. Lara Combs.
Boyne City, Michigan.
Boyne,
Isn't that something? Boyne City, Michigan.
You've heard of Battle Creek.
Yeah.
Viola Isaacson and R.J. Hamilton sent their best wishes.
Is that right?
And Bert Morris from Grayling.
Phone's ringing now somewhere in these United States of ours. We'll find out where here as we get an answer.
Hello?
Hello, this is Honest to Goodness calling from WCCO Radio.
Yes.
Is this Douglas Fisher?
Yes, it is.
In New Bedford, Massachusetts.
Right.
Well, how are you, Doug?
Oh, just fine.
By golly, it's good to reach you tonight, home.
Yeah, I was listening to you on the radio.
Hey, that's good news.
Beautiful.
Isn't it, though? Well, Doug, this is Randy Merriman, and that was Dick Chapman that just called you.
Yes?
Doug, aren't you, originally a Gopher, a Minnesotan?
Right.
When did you... I just talked to a lady... Well, you heard us talking to Mrs. Gagne in...
Yes, I did, yes.
In Washington, and she and her husband moved away from here in 43. When did you leave us?
1957, I think, yeah.
Oh, yes. What are you doing there in New Bedford? You're not a whaler, are you?
No, I'm in the floor covering business.
Oh, yes, yes. Wall-to-wall what? Carpets?
Right.
Yeah. In New Bedford, Massachusetts, Dick, I'm trying to think, wasn't that the great fishing city? And...
Yo-ho, blow the man down.
Oh, yeah, this was a great whaling port.
Yeah?
Yeah.
What is it like there today, right this time of the year, Doug?
Well, it's probably a little bit warmer than it would be out there. It was around 40 today, mm-hmm. I guess.
You're right there on the, you're on the seacoast, aren't you?
Yeah, right, about 50 miles from Boston.
Tell me about New Bedford's population. How big is that?
Well, it's right around 100,000.
Mm-hmm. And you are, you say you're in the floor covering business.
Right.
Oh, boy. And I looked at your name and I said, now, Dick, we're going to ask Doug Fisher to tell us about the last time he was out in the whale boats. And Well, listen, is that, that's still pretty, big fishing, area?
There's quite a bit of fishing going on here, yes.
You know, I can recall, you mentioned Boston, that the last time... Well, whenever I go to the New England states, I always think of Massachusetts for that great, great seafood, you know. They have.
Uh-huh.
And they had those, isn't it out along the coast, they put out the lobster traps?
That's right, yeah.
Yeah. Hey, Doug, how long has it been since you've been to California?
California?
Yeah, have you ever been to California?
No, I've never been to California, no.
You have never been to California?
No.
Well, now I tell you, we're going to have a little fun on our Clear Channel Honest to Goodness tonight. How would you like to meet someone and visit with someone in Oroville, California?
Oh, very nice.
All right. Well, now hang right on, and Dick will call a guest in Oroville, California, and we'll connect Massachusetts and California. That ought to be something.
Right. Sure, sure.
Okay.
Hello?
Hello, Mr. Burge.
Hello there, Mr. Burge.
Yes?
Now, this is Honest to Goodness calling from WCCO Radio.
Well, I've been listening to you.
Oh, have you really?
Yeah.
Well, by golly, now we've got you on the line, and we've got a gentleman from New Bedford, Massachusetts on the line, all connected through us here in the Twin Cities.
Yeah?
How you doing?
Oh, I'm laying here listening to you.
You're listening? You're hearing us right now, Mr. Burge?
Yes.
Where's Oroville, California?
Oh, you know where Sacramento is?
Yes, I do.
Certainly.
It's about 80 miles north.
And how big is Oroville?
Oh, about... 9,000.
Yes. Mr. Burge, have you ever been to New Bedford, Massachusetts?
No, I haven't.
Well, now, Mr. Burge, if you will just say hello, you will meet Doug Fisher of New Bedford, Massachusetts. And, Doug, say hello there to Mr. Burge.
Hello, how are you?
I'm listening to the radio.
Say, Doug, Doug?
Oh, yeah?
Yeah, we're having a little trouble hearing you. Would you speak up a little bit?
Okay, I'll try to speak up a little louder.
You're doing fine now.
That's
okay. Yeah.
Mr. Burge, what kind of weather, what kind of temperature are you having in Oroville, California?
All around 60.
And how is your temperature, Doug?
Oh,
not yours,
about,
I mean...
I'm about 35 right now.
You're about 35 in New Bedford.
Right.
Huh? Yeah. Well, Mr. Burge, what could you tell us about Oroville? How long have you lived there?
Oh, 20 years.
Uh-huh. Where'd you come from before you lived in Oroville?
Missouri.
Well, that's Dick Chapman's hometown.
Is
or
that
home state.
Right? Where are you from in Missouri, Mr. Burge?
Springfield,
right down there in the Ozarks, huh?
Yeah, that's right.
Well, I'll be doggone. I've been through Springfield many times. As a matter of fact, I've done a little fishing in the Ozarks.
Well, you get some good ones there.
That's for sure. Yes, sir.
You get some real whoppers there, I think. I've heard some of his stories, Mr.
They're all whoppers from down there, aren't they, Mr. Burge?
On White River.
Oh, really?
Yeah.
Well, that's one of the finest float fishing streams in the world.
Say,
that's,
Doug.
Yes.
You still there?
I'm still here.
Let them not forget that they got some pretty good fish around New Bedford, Massachusetts.
You better believe it,
yeah. Yes, yeah, sir.
We don't believe in those whales, you know.
Well, say, Mr. Burge and Mr. Fisher, we're going to have a question. We'll give you each a question and let you both work on it together, you see.
Okay.
And then you give us the answer and you'll each win $8.30. Fair enough?
Right. Oh,
okay. okay.
All right, fine. Now, let's see, which one do you think ought to be a good one here for them, Dick?
Well, I don't know. I leave it up to
you. How about, I'll tell you, let's take that number five, huh?
Number five.
Mm-hmm.
All right.
All right, now, here
now,
we
this
go.
This is a tough question, so you got to talk it over amongst yourselves.
Yeah, you boys talk it over now.
Right.
All right, here we go. Now, Mr. Fisher and Mr. Burge, here's the question. One of the greatest minds in the world, one of the greatest minds the world has ever known, stretches across north-central Minnesota. It's called the Mesabi Range. Now, what is mined there? What do they take out of that mine? Doug, do you want to talk it over with Mr. Burge?
Okay.
Go ahead, Mr. Burge. You can talk to Doug if you want to.
Okay.
I would say probably it would be iron ore.
What do you think, Mr. Burge? Is that the right answer?
What did he say?
He said he thought it was iron ore.
No, I don't think so.
Oh. Well, talk it over a little more there.
What do you think?
Doug, you tell him why you think it's iron or iron ore.
Well, it seems to me I've been up that way, and it seems to me that that's what it was.
You ever been up that way, Mr. Burge?
What is it?
Have you ever been up that way?
No, I haven't.
Oh, well, do you think you ought to take Doug's word for it then?
Yeah, I will.
I'm glad you did, because that's the right answer.
That way you both win $8.30.
Yes, sir, that's right. It's iron ore, and you iron, rather, and you both win $8.30.
Thank you, boy.
Yes, sir. Now, Mr. Burge in Oroville, California, you stay there. And also, Doug Fisher, you hang right on, too.
Okay.
And Dick Chapman's going to get your mailing addresses, gentlemen. And honest to goodness, it was nice to visit with you from coast to coast, from Massachusetts to California on WCCO Radio.
Thank you, boy. I'm glad to talk to you.
It's our pleasure, sir.
Yeah, thank you very much.
Okay.
Okay, bye.
Bye-bye. Now, Dick Chapman will talk to the two gentlemen,
okay,
and while that's happening,
Let's
I'd like to
here,
talk
Mr.
to you.
Burge?
I'd like to, that is, not in California or in Massachusetts,
Oroville,
but,
California.
You know, right here in any old home area, and invite that you to shop Super Value this week and save on good value sliced bacon. It's only 59 cents per pound, and value selected round steak is especially priced at only 77 cents a pound this week. Shop Super Value for quality, savings plus gold bond stamps. And remember, you'll find the woman's touch in every Purex product, so buy Fell's brands at Super Value.
I didn't mean to be stepping all over your line there. I forgot to turn my mic off
while
I was getting the addresses.
Well, let's see now. We've
Hey, a couple of nice guys, you know.
Oh, yes. Yes, they were. Mr. Burge. That's B-I-R-G-E, isn't it?
Mm-hmm.
Out there basking in 60-degree climate in Oroville, California. Mr. Fisher there on the wind-lashed coast of New Bedford, Massachusetts.
He's got 35 degrees. You know what we got? 28 degrees.
Is that what it is right
now? That's
right,
28 right now.
28 degrees. That's that's an amazing
thing. The benefit of all you ex-Minnesotans out there, though, the Twin Cities still doesn't have very much snow. Just a little light dusting, that's about it.
Remember, he said it, folks, now tomorrow, oh boy, pow is when we get it, huh? Dick, do you know that from Colorado, in the city of Monte Vista, that Mrs. W.H. Stevenson dropped us a little note, and Phyllis Ward in Aspen, Colorado, wrote to us, too. Now, isn't Aspen a great ski country?
Well, it's second only to Minnesota.
Yeah, well, we'll probably never hear from Phyllis Ward
again.
That's
right. Really, it is. Yeah. It's one of the finest ski areas in the world.
What is he doing? Is he pretending that he's Boing Boing Brumley?
Or I don't know what he's
Abner doing. Just came in, and he's making like a football player. Everything all right? Are we on the radio, Ab?
Are we getting through to the West Coast?
No, thanks to him.
How about the East Coast?
Illinois. There's, of course, the land of Lincoln. And we heard from Lincoln. Or no, we heard from Roger Heffron in Breeze, Illinois. Mrs. Earl L. Anderson from Cameron. Mrs. Rose Tamling, in Oak Lawn. Miss Thelma Force in Normal. That's, I'm Miss Force from Normal. When she introduces herself, that's what she'd say. Just a normal force. West Virginia, we heard from Ethel Palmer in Weston. Say, I hope you've got the word. The word is probe. It's the most provocative word game since the invention of the alphabet. You know, you conceal a secret word on your playing board, any word up to 12 letters long, and you have over 400,000 words to choose from. Then your opponent tries to figure out the word that you've hidden letter by letter. You get the idea? Probe's a real challenge to your vocabulary and deductive talents. Unique scoring bonuses and penalties add more to the fun. Two to four people can play, children too, either by themselves or with you grown-ups. Even a simple word can be hard to detect, and best yet, no one ever gets left out. Now, if your probe word is guessed, you keep right on playing. You got the name of the game? It's Probe, P-R-O-B-E. Another famous Parker game by the makers of Monopoly, Clue, and Sorry. It's game time, you know, and the stores, your department stores, are resplendent with these new games for the holidays.
There's the phone ringing in Cane Tuck.
Here goes our game.
Say, we haven't talked to Cane Tuck for a while.
It's going to warm us up a little.
Hope somebody answers there in Kentucky. Let's see, we've talked to Oak Harbor, Washington.
Hello.
Hello, this is Honest to Goodness calling from WCCO Radio. Like to speak to...
How's that?
This is WCCO calling from WCCO Radio. Like to talk
Hello?
To Harry O'Rear.
Yes, sir.
Hello, Harry.
Fine, how are you?
Very good, how are you tonight?
Just fine.
Well, we thought we'd call you on our quiz program, Honest to Goodness.
Well, I just have been enjoying it so much, I feel like I go from coast to coast with you on that program.
Isn't that nice, huh?
Oh, very good.
Yes, sir.
Right. Meet yes, Randy Merriman.
How do you do, sir? Harry, it's nice to talk to you.
Well, it's certainly nice to talk to you, sir.
You know, you have just expressed the way we try to put it, that, you know, you can be on the go with WCCO and yet at the same time not have to worry about packing or catching trains or planes, but just come along with us and visit places.
That's right. And you just don't know how much I enjoy it.
Well, you're certainly a delightful gentleman to tell us that. Now, Harry, tell us a little bit about Mount Sterling, Kentucky. It sounds like a very fine city.
Well, it is. It's a progressive little town. We're just about 30 miles east of Lexington.
Mm-hmm.
We're right at the racehorse farms.
Mm-hmm.
And,
right in the bluegrass
just
country.
It's a farming neighborhood until just here recently, and we're getting quite a few factories in here now.
About how large is Mount Sterling? How big a city?
Well, it's about 6,000 now.
Dick just said you're right in thoroughbred country in the bluegrass country.
That's right, and we're getting all these new modern highways, and we're just about 20 minutes out of Lexington.
Mm-hmm. Are you a native Kentuckian?
Yes, sir.
Where were you born, Mount Sterling?
No, sir, just about 20 miles away.
Uh-huh.
I was born in an old town known as Clay City.
Clay City, Kentucky.
Yes.
What do you do, sir?
Well, we live out on a farm. I'm a farm agent. My father hasn't been so well, and so I just manage his farms for him.
Oh, I see.
However, I was interested in interior decorating, and I finished my school up east.
What, Harry, is the principal farm product there in the farming?
Tobacco, and we're having one of our best sales.
Oh,
you are? It opened here Monday.
Oh,
is
yes?
Is this sale time in Kentucky?
Yes, sir, it opened, and it's one of the best sales we've ever had.
You well, mean like a...
Blah, 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 oh, wait a minute. He's trying to make like a tobacco auctioneer, Harry.
Well, it sounds just about the same. I could understand him as well as I could one of ours.
Well, you know, sir, you know, I've never been able to understand it, and when I hear a Kentuckian tell me that he too has a little trouble, it gives me new hope.
And sometimes after listening to them, it takes a little while to really make out our own ticket.
Say, Mr., you pronounce it Mr., it's Harry O'Rear, is that it?
That's right.
Yes. Harry, have you ever visited Yankee country up here in Minnesota or Iowa or North or South Dakota?
No, sir, I've never had that pleasure yet. I'm about as far out as my father used to be in oil business, and mm-hmm. we were in Tulsi, Oklahoma at one time.
Mm-hmm. Tulsi?
Yes.
Mm-hmm. Say, I haven't heard anybody call it Tulsi since I left Oklahoma. It's supposed to be Tulsa, but everybody down there calls it Tulsi. Did you know that?
Yes, I do. I recall because I used to live in Wichita.
Oh, is that right?
Yeah, and they said that too, there.
Hey, I can't get over how much, Mr. O'Rear, how much you sound like the late Bob Burns from Paducah, Kentucky.
Well, thank you.
How far is Paducah from Mount Sterling?
Well, Paducah, I'd say it's about, 200 miles.
Uh-huh. Well, it's a great state, Kentucky.
Well, thank you. Do you ever visit down this way?
I have been through. I didn't get a chance to stop and visit as long as I'd like to, but I know what beautiful country you got around there.
Well, it is, and we're just about 20 miles away from the famous Natural Bridge.
Oh, yes.
Which bridge is that, Mr. O'Rear?
That's Natural Bridge, Kentucky.
Natural Bridge, Kentucky, yes.
Yes, sir, and it's it's just built up tremendously in the last 3 or 4 years. We have two beautiful lodges there.
Uh-huh. Yes. Yeah, it isn't...
It would be a place of interest, and I know you would enjoy it.
Is it not, Mr. O'Rear, is it not in Kentucky where you also find Mammoth Cave?
That's right.
Yes.
That's in the western part of the state.
And I know, too, that you are world famous, of course, in springtime for Churchill Downs and the great Kentucky. Is it Derby? Is that the way you say it?
We call it Derby, but, of course, the Englishman, he would say
Derby. He says Derby, huh?
Yeah, and then they got all those mammoth distilleries over there, too.
I knew he'd get around to asking about the bourbon crop this year pretty soon.
Never mind that tobacco. Yeah. How's that bourbon?
Well, listen, before you take a bubble Durban, I want to give Harry O'Rear a chance to win $8.30.
You better go easy on
it. Oh, we're going to, Harry. Listen, I'm going to see that you get the answer if I have to hold the script right up here to the microphone. So you.
Okay.
All right, let me see.
Question number six.
All right. Yeah, hey, here's one here for you.
Yes, sir.
A man born in South Dakota and schooled in Minnesota has been mayor of Minneapolis and also the senator from Minnesota and the vice president of the United States. I'll give you a few seconds, and can you name him? What's his name?
Vice President Humphrey.
That's it. You didn't need any seconds. Hubert H. Humphrey. You are absolutely right,
sir. I'm too much devoted to him to have missed that.
Well, I'm certain that he has visited just about every portion of this, almost the world, you could say. So I'm certain that he has visited in Kentucky.
Well, when he was running and then his speeches and things and then knowing what he had done out in your part of the country, one couldn't help but be for him.
Well, that's very nice of you to say that. And I'm certain that the vice president would be very happy to hear your very kind words. Mr. O'Rear, one other thing I just wanted to say. Now, you've won our money, $8.30. Dick's going to get your mailing address. I do wish we could just talk on and on. But one more thing I wanted to ask you. Kentucky, now, like Minnesota is called the Gopher State, and, Wisconsin is the Badger State. Montana, I think, is the Treasure State. What do they call Kentucky? What is its nickname? Do they have a nickname for it there?
Well, I know they call it Kentuckian a Briarhopper.
Briarhoppers?
Mm-hmm.
Yeah, I just wondered because it was kind of interesting. I know one thing. It's known as the state of beautiful horses and fast
horses
and beautiful women,
that's
isn't it?
That's the way it
the
goes.
The bluegrass state.
Oh, the bluegrass state. That's it. Well, all right, sir. Well, Harry O'Rear, honest to goodness, it's a delight to talk to you and to know the WCCO has a good neighbor in Mount Sterling, Kentucky.
You certainly do, and if you're ever this way, well, be sure to look me up.
I'll do it.
And I'm hoping to someday to visit your city.
Well, you'll find WCCO Radio with a very warm and hospitable welcome if you come our way.
Thank you.
Thank you, sir. Uh-oh. I think Abner just poured himself a cut that out in there, Abner, will you? See, you just mentioned the subject, and he bangs open a barrel. Well, all right, we're going to take a moment now to hear from Mr. Frederick Fennell speaking for music, and then we'll be on with the show.
Let Schmitz put music in your home this Christmas. That's Schmitz in downtown Minneapolis, downtown St. Paul, Robbinsdale, and St. Louis Park.
And that was Mr. Frederick Fennell. Well, Dick, it's not quite 9 o'clock, but I think even still, a couple of minutes ahead, that we can say that you are now listening to the first portion of Honest to Goodness, and we are on a little early this evening because of our Clear Channel show tonight, and all of this, of course, with studios in Minneapolis and St. Paul at 830, is WCCO.
And today be Tuesday,
are
November...
Are you sure now?
Yes, Tuesday, November 30th, 1965. You realize this is the last day of the month?
Don't get funny with that. Do you realize what tomorrow is?
Yeah, I do.
What?
December 1st?
It's my birthday.
Oh, you're kidding.
But forget it, because I am.
He finally reached 25.
No, listen, DeHaven.
So right.
Oh, you shut up in there, Abner. No, DeHaven, you know, here's the grand old man of the morning. He advertises it pretty big. They have lawn socials at his place. People come out and trip over the croquet wickets. It's a pretty sticky thing. And Chapman does the same thing. They usually have some sort of a Gemütlich Fest or whatever you call it.
Gemütlich Fest.
What is that when you?
My birthday.
Get white caps on the top of the glass. Anyway, In my case, you know,
Skip
I like...
Skipgongsfest.
Forget it.
Yeah.
Well, look, let's talk about something like potato chips.
All right, talk about potato chips.
While you're calling our next guest, I'd like to suggest you try that twin pack of Old Dutch potato chips. That's the way to make sure that you have plenty for all. Sort of double up. And when the kids get home from school hungry, hungry as bears, they open up that Old Dutch twin pack, and boy, you have a good, satisfying, healthful snack with no work at all for you. The kids love those snappin' crisp Old Dutch potato chips, and right now, with the holiday season coming on, they're the ideal treats to have around. Good name to remember when you want the best potato chips. And, oh, say, here's something else. Serve it with the Old Dutch chips with a tasty dip made with Lipton onion soup mix, and you'll be paid 25 cents just for trying the chip and dip combination. Mail the price mark from a twin pack of Old Dutch potato chips together with the front panel from a Lipton onion soup mix package to Lipton Soup, Box 5200, St. Paul. Get a 25-cent refund. Complete details about this Lipton soup offer on Old Dutch potato chips. And the packages are marked, You Dip In, We'll Chip In. I think Dick's got another customer.
I've reached Mr. H.H. Heim in Lander, Wyoming. Hello, Mr. Heim. How are you hearing us tonight?
Hello. I can hear you.
Well, good. I can hear you, too. I'll say that.
Howdy, partner.
Oh, I'm pretty good.
Well, that's fine. Say, your initials are pretty famous there. H-H-H, huh?
Yeah, see, I wrote your letter. I told you they call me Triple H.
Triple H.
Yeah.
Well, let me ask you this question, Triple H. Is your business politics, or what is your business, sir?
My business is in the banking business.
Oh, a banker.
And I want to tell you all about it now. I'm the oldest active banker in the state of Wyoming, and maybe in the whole United States.
Well, is that right?
I'm 86 years old, and I've been in the banking business continually for 60 years.
Well, boy, I tell you, in your area, that is what we call experience. Mr. Heim, what is your bank, sir?
My bank is the First National Bank, Lander, Wyoming.
Well, isn't that fine? And when was the bank founded, Mr. Heim?
In 1884.
And you say you have been 60?
It was a bank before it was a state.
My goodness, that is back in Wyoming territory in the days of the early West.
Yeah.
I'll bet there's quite a history in connection with the opening day of that bank or the years that that bank has seen. It could tell many stories.
Yes, indeed, Yes, sir.
Well, that Wyoming now, you're not, you're kind of half in and half out of winter now, aren't you?
No, we haven't had any real winter yet, but it's getting colder every day. At nights now it gets around 15 to 20 above, and during the daytime it gets up to between 40 and 50.
Uh-huh. Once in a while, though, you catch a snowstorm, don't you?
Huh?
Once in a while you catch a snowstorm, don't you?
Oh, yeah, once in a while. We had snow just last week. There's snow on the ground now. Yeah.
What is your first name, Mr. Heim?
Harry.
Oh, Harry. Harry, and your middle name?
I never had any. They just gave me an H.
They gave you H, huh?
And
well,
you just never
the way it goes.
Kicked the H out of there, huh? Well, Harry, I was going to ask you this. Let's go back to banking again. Is that all right?
Yeah.
What time of the morning do you get up to go to work to the bank?
Well, listen. I'm one of those new kind of bankers you've heard about, public relation officer.
Oh,
is that so?
Uh-huh.
I was running a bank here in Lander, a state bank, and in 1951, we sold our stock to the First National Bank,
mm-hmm.
and I went along with it because I was so well acquainted and had so many good friends.
Well, that's fine.
That they put me in as public relations officer.
Well, you know, I think they were very smart because I think if you hadn't gone along with it, a lot of people might have just taken their money right out of that bank.
Well, Harry, you got a lot of good public relations going for you tonight, I'll say that.
Yes, sir. Do you do much advertising ever on the radio, Harry?
Well, on the local. We have a local radio station here.
And it's called WCCO.
And, we're on quite a bit every day, you know.
Say, I want to ask you one more thing. I bet you a lot of your customers then, your patrons are ranchers, ranch folks, are they?
Oh, yeah, cattlemen, sheepmen, and ranchers, you know.
Mm-hmm. Mm-hmm.
We have a lot of mines.
Yeah. Well, that certainly sounds interesting. Well, now, Mr. Heim, then, being a man of banking interest, you certainly are not going to object to trying for a little of our money. We're going to give you a chance to win $8.30. Do we have a banking question here anywhere?
I don't think so.
No. Yeah. Let's see. What have we got then for...
Hello.
Yes, we're just finding a question here for you.
You better make it easy.
All right, let's see.
Number one there is not too bad.
All right, let's try this one. Here we go. Harry, now we've got, you know, Minnesota... State of Minnesota is noted for several things. Now, let's ask you to pick one of these. Is Minnesota called the land of 10,000 rivers, the land of 10,000 lakes, or the land of 10,000 hills?
The land of 10,000 lakes.
That is right, sir. You must have been here.
Yeah, I have. I spent a vacation up there one time. I was born in Iowa, and before I left Iowa, I spent a couple weeks up in Minneapolis and St. Paul on a visit.
Well, that's good. I hope that you're not going to stay away so long and that you'll be back and visit us again.
Yes? I had a brother that railroaded up at Duluth.
Well, what did they get him on? Oh, he was in the railroad business.
Yeah, railroad business. He's dead now.
Oh, I understand. Yeah. Well, now, Harry, honest to goodness, it's been very nice to visit with you, and I'm glad you listen. You say you hear WCCO quite a bit out there, huh?
Yeah, I catch it pretty every night.
Well, isn't that fine? Well, it's been swell to have you on the radio and also to do a couple of commercials for your bank. And you take that money we're going to send you now, and you know what to do. Put it right in the bank, huh?
I'll do that. I'll put it on interest.
All right. Thank you, Harry Heim.
4.5%.
Well, that sounds mighty good. Mr. Heim, honest to goodness, it was nice to talk to you in Lander, Wyoming.
Well, I enjoyed it very much.
Thank you, sir. Good night. Well, wasn't that interesting? We've been in Washington, Oak Harbor, Washington, Massachusetts, Kentucky, Wyoming, California. Well, I tell you what, we're going to take a minute here now to, unfortunately, a minute is all we can take, but when we get talking about a food product, and on the subject of food, boy, I tell you, I could go on and on and on, because this particular food has found its way into the Merriman household now for, well, low many years, long before we were talking about it on the air. And as I told you last night, Dick, we had a long meal, very long meal. I don't mean on the table, a long table, but we had creamettes, hot dish style.
Oh, yeah? Mm-hmm. Goes a long way, doesn't it?
You know, we never have any leftovers from the creamettes. It doesn't go long.
Hey, this is an ideal sponsor for a Clear Channel night, because that snappy green package in the big and little supermarkets stretch from coast to coast almost.
Why, are you kidding? I can see Mrs. Gagne in Oak Harbor, Washington, running in, and Mr. Douglas Fisher saying, I'm going to have my whale steak with a side order of creamettes. Or maybe Mr. Heim at Lander, Wyoming, saying, close the bank, boys, while I go over and spend $8.30 on my creamettes.
Oh, yes. You know, happiness is no easy matter. Kind of hard to find within ourselves and impossible to find anyplace else. Could be, but here's something that is easy to find from coast to coast, creamettes macaroni. You just look for that snappy green box in big and little displays and big and little supermarkets everywhere. You'll find a lot of happy meals in that famous snappy green creamette box. Casseroles, salads, or plain creamettes with butter and seasoning. Creamettes are always in good taste for lunch, for dinner, or even for snacks. You'll also find that creamettes macaroni cook up firm and delicious in just 7 minutes. That's important in this fast day and age of ours. 7 minutes. Never go soft, never go sticky. Creamettes have that clean, lean taste of protein people prefer. Believe me, creamettes extra quality will make you and your entire family happy. Pick up several packages of creamettes macaroni your very next trip to the store. Look for the macaroni with a clean, lean taste of protein. Creamettes in that famous snappy green box in big and little supermarkets everywhere.
Well, all right, you heard the man say it, and I have to second the motion. And it's awfully difficult to say to someone, we hope you'll try it, because you just figure that everyone already has. But if you haven't, get in on the treat. It's like the man said, it's that lean, fine protein. While Dick is placing this next call, I want to just thank Mr. and Mrs. David Rammons from Herkimer, New York, and from Williamsville, New York, Chris Schmink, and Mrs. Arthur Onson of Ithaca, New York. They also wrote to us, said they were listening to Clear Channel Broadcasting.
We may get to those folks in one of these other Clear Channel things. We got,
oh, yes, right. Yes, this doesn't exclude them from calling. I just want to acknowledge their letters. Dale Sloan of Columbus in Ohio, and from Warren, Ohio, Violet Kyle. South Amherst, Mrs. Clarence Flew. Lancaster, Mr. and Mrs. Dennis Johnson. Mansfield in Cincinnati and Akron, Ohio.
Hello?
Too.
Hello, this is Honest to Goodness calling from WCCO Radio.
Yeah, I'm trying to get you on. You're not coming in very good.
Oh, is this Francis Burr?
That's right.
Where are you, Mr. Burr?
What's that?
I say, where do you live?
I live in Lethbridge, Alberta, right in the heart of the irrigation center.
And you sound like a Canadian, too, to me, I'll tell you that.
Well, Mr. Burr, I'm glad we got you on the telephone, but you've been trying to get us this evening. How do we come in other nights?
Oh, yesterday you came in marvelous. I heard that lady win $116.
Oh, did you? Yes, that...
Peregrine White, wasn't it?
Peregrine White. Did you know the answer to that, too?
No, I'm afraid not.
I'm glad that Mr. Burr gave the answer on that, Dick. Perhaps we ought to review it for people who missed it last night.
That's right. We had a lady win $116.20 for answering that question about the first white child born in the New England colonies. And that was Peregrine White.
That's correct, and because the answer was right, that paid out the money. Well, Mr. Burr, Lethbridge, Alberta, Canada, you say is in the heart of irrigation country?
That's right.
My goodness sakes. How far? I know where Calgary is.
Well,
Calgary.
We're about 120 miles south of Calgary, south and east.
You know,
60 miles from the U.S. boundary, Montana.
Mm-hmm. And also, it's in... Alberta, that you have a fine football team. It's the Calgary Stampeders, isn't it?
That's right.
Yes. Are you a football fan?
Yes, they didn't do so good, though, and for the Grey Cup. They got beat by Winnipeg.
Yes, I know, but they were good. The team, they got right to the Grey Cup finals.
Well, they did pretty good.
Mm-hmm.
That's right. Then Winnipeg turned around and got beat, you know, by Hamilton.
Yes, but Winnipeg did very well, considering what they did last year.
That's mm-hmm. true, yeah. It was quite a comeback.
Mr. Burr, what do you do there in Lethbridge?
Well, I used to be a printer.
Oh, yes, and you say you used to be, I assume by that you are now retired.
Well, sort of. I'm an artist, too.
Well, that's interesting. You paint...
I do pen and inks.
Pen and inks?
Yes.
Portrait work. Are you commissioned by people to...
Sometimes,
mm-hmm.
luckily.
Are you a native Canadian?
No, I've been 40 years in Western Canada and about 3 years in Eastern Canada. I was born in England.
Oh, that's what I thought. Whereabouts in England?
I was born in 25 miles north of London, a little village called Harpenden.
Uh-huh.
And then I was raised in the south coast in Brighton.
Oh, I see. When did you come to Canada?
1923.
Mm-hmm. Mr. Burr, you know, I was just thinking this might be an interesting thing to have Mr. Burr, have you visited many places in the United States? Have you had that opportunity?
No, I haven't. The only place I ever got down was West Glacier, just over the...
Oh, yes, in
Montana.
Montana.
Yeah.
Philadelphia, you know, is the city of brotherly love. That's
So I hear.
Yes, it might be nice. Why don't we call one of our Clear Channel friends in Philadelphia this evening? And I'll tell you what we'll do, Francis. We'll see if we can reach our friend and then give you a chance to talk to somebody from Philadelphia, and we'll find out about Pennsylvania. How's the weather there in Lethbridge now?
It's wonderful right now. It's about 37 above. About 4 days ago, it was 18 below.
Is that a fact?
Yeah, we got a Chinook wind in.
You got a what?
Chinook wind.
Oh, yes.
From the southwest.
Chinook wind. Well, I was just talking to this lady earlier this evening from Oak Harbor, Washington, and she's quite north in Washington, but says there, of course, they have mild weather, and I guess that's because of the currents there, the Japan current.
Yes.
But now you say it's... And what is it tonight there? How cold?
It's about 38 above.
Mm-hmm.
Nice and warm.
Mm-hmm. Mr. Burr, who all's home there with you tonight now?
Well, I'm single. I'm attached.
Oh. Well, you may be getting letters tomorrow.
Well, that'd be all right.
Here you are, an artist and a retired printer. My goodness sakes. Now, I think, Mr. Burr, that Dick has been able to make contact with a gentleman in Philadelphia, Pennsylvania. And if he has, I believe it would be Thomas Robert McLaughlin.
I've been listening to the program for quite a while.
I just put you on the air as you said that, sir. Is this Thomas McLaughlin?
Yes, it is.
Thomas McLaughlin in Philadelphia.
I was just listening to the program, and you announced you were going to phone somebody in Philadelphia.
By golly, you're the
and
one.
You're the man.
Yes, sir. Here's Randy and yes. Everybody else.
Hello, Mr. McLaughlin.
How do you do?
It's nice to visit with you, sir. Are you originally from Minnesota, or have you all...
No, I happen to get this program every once in a while.
Well, we're happy to hear that.
See, sometimes, and the reception is not always as good at one time as another. For a while it was staticky, and then
yes.
it came in very clear again.
Well, we're delighted to get your report on those clear occasions. Mr. McLaughlin, just as you said, you heard us, we were going to call someone in Pennsylvania, in Philadelphia. Have you ever visited extensively in Western Canada?
No, I have never been in Western Canada.
Well, I would like you now, if you will, just to say hello to Mr. Francis Burr, an artist, and he is talking to you from his home in Lethbridge.
I'm an amateur artist, too.
You are an artist also?
Well, I mean, as a hobby. I love
yes.
to draw pictures and crayons.
Well, Mr. Burr, say hello to Mr. McLaughlin.
Hello, Mr. McLaughlin.
How do you do, Mr. Burr?
It really is a marvelous thrill to speak to somebody in your great state.
Yes. I think it's nice to always talk to people from another nation.
You're an artist.
Well, as a hobby, I like to draw pictures in crayon.
Well, that's nice. I do a little bit myself, but mostly pen and ink.
Yes, well, I do that, too.
You do?
Yes, and I write short story, write short essays as a hobby.
Well, the kind of short stories I write, the editor would be refused to look at.
No, it's not that bad.
Mr. McLaughlin, I was telling Mr. Burr, it's been a number of years since I've been in Philadelphia, but I have visited there several times, and it is a very wonderful, when they speak of seeing America, I know that many Americans haven't had the opportunity or haven't availed themselves of the opportunity of the rich lore, American tradition, and history of Philadelphia. You might like to tell me...
I'd like to know...
Yes?
What was the original name of St. Paul? You had that as a quiz question about 9 months ago, and I've looked at all the books, including a school textbook about St. Paul.
Dick, you...
Which I bought 3 months ago.
Yeah, I think we... do you have that at...
Oh, you mean one of our former questions.
Yes, I was always interested in finding out the original name.
Yes. St. Paul, believe it or not, used to be known as Pig's Eye.
Pig's Eye.
Pig's Eye.
That's
it was
not
a little
any
settled.
Of the history books I have. Oh. See, I study history as a hobby, too.
Uh-huh. Well, there you've got the answer to that one.
And I'm certain that all those people in St. Paul are not going to be very happy that here we went and said it again. Matter of fact, I live there myself, Mr. McLaughlin.
Yes.
Say, tell Mr. Burr about a little bit about Philadelphia, the Liberty Bell and Liberty Hall.
Well, what I was very surprised about, Mr. Burr, I never knew until about a year ago that the Declaration of Independence had not been correctly reproduced in printing until 1815,
good.
And it was a Philadelphia alderman named John Binns.
Did you hear that, Mr. Burr?
Yes, I heard it.
Uh-huh.
Yes, I thought it was interesting that,
yes.
that it had never been proofread until 1815, and that year was the first year in which the document had facsimiles of the signatures of the signers.
That's amazing information. Mr. Burr was telling us, Mr. McLaughlin, he is retired from printing, so this would have an interest to him, too.
Yes, I'm interested in the printing trade. I've had articles published in the Graphic Arts Monthly and Printing Production Magazine.
What kind of weather do you have there in Philadelphia tonight?
It's about 27 degrees, and it's been halfway between cloudy and sunshiny today.
It's a kind of a weird world. Now, here's Mr. Burr up there in Canada, and it's warmer there. It's 38 degrees. He's got a Chinook wind, he says.
And just 4 days ago, Mr. Burr, how cold was it?
It was 18 below.
18 below.
Yeah. How cold is it usually? What's some of your real extreme...
Well, last year was a bear cat. It was really cold. Went around 20, 30 below.
Uh-huh. Mr. McLaughlin, if I may be personal, I don't think I asked you, what do you do in Philadelphia, sir?
Well, I might become a teacher in January.
Well, then you are now awaiting your degree, is that it?
I'm unemployed right now, and I might be able to get this teaching position.
Well, I certainly hope that this will come about. It would be in Philadelphia, then, in the school system there?
Yes, possibly in English and history.
Oh. Where did you go to school, Tom?
I went to Northeast High School in Philadelphia, and then I went to LaSalle.
Great basketball school.
Yes.
I had some relatives living for a while in Upper Darby.
That's
a suburb of Philadelphia, isn't it?
That's where they run the Kentucky.
No, it isn't.
Oh, isn't it? No.
Well, now, Thomas Robert McLaughlin and Francis Burr, the two of you gentlemen, let us do the same thing. We'll find a question here, and obviously this, I say obviously, because we try to slant our questions a little about Minnesota or this area. So that's what this will be, and the two of you may talk it over, and we'll pay both of you on the right answer.
How about question number two there? Since Mr. Burr is a football fan in Canada, Mm-hmm. And
I see what you're getting.
Mr. McLaughlin is a statesider. Maybe they can get together on this question.
All right, Dick, why don't you place the question? Here you are, gentlemen. Now talk it over and come up with your answer.
We got $8.30 for each of you, 830 from CCO. And the question is, what is the nickname of Minnesota's team in the National Football League?
I'm afraid I wouldn't know that.
How about you, Tom?
My father for resistance. All right, Dick?
I beg pardon?
What is the nickname of Minnesota's National Football Team? Do you know?
National Football League team. Yes, you can get help there.
Oh, yes. Talk it over with anyone at all.
Mm-hmm.
As you know, Philadelphia are the Eagles, and Chicago the Bears. Minnesota are the, if you can just tell us that.
Just trying to think.
Mm-hmm.
Mm-hmm. I'll say this, Mr. Burr, there in Canada.
Yeah?
The nickname of the Minnesota team has to do with the way, way, way back history of the people that now populate this section of the country.
It sounds like the Cornhuskers.
Yeah, you're a little bit south there now. That's the Iowa people, the Cornhuskers. But you got the right
people,
idea.
Yes, they say they came out of the north. They were reputed to be the discoverers of America, actually, too.
Well, see, I don't think it would have anything to do with Buckeye, would it?
No.
Ohio is the Buckeye.
That's Ohio.
Not the Hoosier, is it?
No, that's Indiana. We're getting closer every minute.
No, as I say, this nickname came from early explorers.
Yeah, like Eric the Red and some claim Leif Erikson and them cats.
Yeah.
It wouldn't be the Vikings.
It certainly
Vikings,
would be.
There
that's
we
it.
Are. Yeah.
Gentlemen, that's it.
That was easy, wasn't it?
they were Vikings.
Vikings, correct. The Minnesota Vikings. Well, now, I'm going to ask Dick Chapman to talk to both of you gentlemen on the private line so that he may get your mailing address. But, Mr. Burr, in Lethbridge, Alberta, Canada, it has been a pleasure to talk to you, and thank you for listening.
I'm glad we're talking.
It is marvelous. Thanks very much.
All right, and Thomas Robert McLaughlin
and
Philadelphia.
I might mention that I'm an amateur cook, so I might send you a cake for New Year.
Are you, Mr. Burr?
What's that?
Are you? And I'm amateur cook, too.
Yes.
I think it's so nice to have talked with a person from Canada.
Perhaps if you would like each other an exchange of addresses, mailing addresses, Dick Chapman can give you both that on the private line.
All right, then.
Thank you, Mr. McLaughlin in Philadelphia and Francis Burr in Alberta.
All right.
Good night.
I think that would be very...
Thank you. Now, Dick is talking to the two gentlemen on the private line, and once again, you two have joined us as we visited thousands of miles apart and two continents apart. Lethbridge, Alberta, Canada, Philadelphia, Pennsylvania. Both gentlemen listening, isn't that an oddity where Mr. McLaughlin said, I heard you say you were going to call someone there in Philadelphia, hoping it would be him. Say, I've asked you this question. If you ever wondered who it is that names those ice cream flavors at Bridgman's, well, whoever the man is, the job is difficult because the ice cream is so great, and to come up with an assortment of names for those many assorted flavors is really something. Take, for instance, this ice cream right now, the current ice cream of the season at Bridgman Soda Grills. It's called Golden Caramel Swirl, and it's called... Oh, I was listening to Dick. he's got two phones, one to each ear. Anyway, Golden Caramel Swirl is the name that really fits. When you take home a quart of a half gallon, you'll certainly agree. It's called Golden Caramel Swirl, and it looks for all the world just like a vein of pure gold swirling through that creamy, smooth Bridgman vanilla ice cream. And, of course, you know it's not gold. It's just the golden color of the caramel made in Bridgman's own kitchens and then stirred lavishly all through Bridgman vanilla ice cream. Golden Caramel Swirl. I'm making myself awfully hungry here. Take some home soon, will you, from your favorite Bridgman ice cream spot? Give it your own name after you try it. Now, you folks that live thousands of miles away from our microphones and Bridgman stores, you're just going to have to imagine how good it is until one day you can come here and try it. May I tell you that our next program, Clear Channel, when we will make calls throughout the continent, will be on Wednesday night, December 15th. Will you make a note of that? December 15th, Wednesday night. And we will again be on the radio starting at 8:30 Central Standard Time. Now, if you're listening to us and wondering what this is all about, the program is called Honest to Goodness. It's on every night on WCCO Radio, normally at 9 o'clock. We'd like very much to have you let us know where you live and how you hear us so that we may call you. So if you will send us your name, your address, and your telephone number along with your area code, we pay the charges, of course, when we call you. All this information on a postcard, your zip code, too, would be nice. It'll help us get the money to you quicker. Then send it all to Honest to Goodness, WCCO Radio, Minneapolis or St. Paul, Minnesota.
We'll send you a quart of scotch and some art.
I'm afraid I can't be responsible for that. It was Abner. Bless his heart. Dear Abner. We're trying now on our next call. From Bellevue, Washington, we heard from Mrs. Roy B. Phillips. And from Texas, Amarillo, Texas, James Mills, Mrs. C.C. DeBerry in Bogota. Is that how you say that? Or Bogota? Do you know, Dick, Texas?
Is Columbia?
It? No, Bogota, not Columbia.
That must be Bogota in Texas.
Bogota? Well, and also in Aransas Pass, Dr. and Mrs. Glenn Cum. And in Omaha, Nebraska, the man mentioned the Cornhuskers. That's Cornhusker land. From Omaha, Terry Fitzgerald contacted us. Missouri and Kansas City, we heard from George Carter.
Hello, Kansas City, Mo.
Hello.
Hello, this is Honest to Goodness calling from WCCO Radio.
Just a minute.
All right.
Bob.
Who are you calling?
We're calling Bob Yar in Elmhurst, Illinois.
Good, good. In Utah, Salt Lake City, we heard from Joe Vondrasek.
Yeah. Hello, Bob.
Hi.
This is Honest to Goodness calling.
Hi, how are you?
Very good. How are you this evening?
Oh, pretty good.
Very good. Meet Randy Merriman.
Hi, Bob.
Hi, Randy.
You sound as though, let me guess, are you a student?
Yep.
Well, that's nice. Where do you go to attend school, Bob?
York High School.
And that's right in Elmhurst, is it?
Mm-hmm.
How far is Elmhurst near Chicago or what?
About 15 miles away.
Uh-huh. Yeah, you're, let's see, I'm just trying to think now in around Elmhurst, Illinois, and in that area you have some pretty good teams, basketball, football and all, don't you?
Yeah.
Uh-huh. You know,
basketball team.
Yeah, it's interesting to note that the Minnesota Vikings professional football team, I think, drafted four players, football players from the University of Illinois. So that speaks pretty well for your state. Bob, what are you studying now in school?
Well, I'm studying
General subjects?
Courses, chemistry. And
oh, yes. What year are you in?
I'm a senior.
Oh, yes. What are your plans when you graduate, Bob?
Well, either go into accounting or journalism.
Mm-hmm. And have you as yet decided on your school that you'll attend?
Probably Drake.
At Drake?
Oh, yeah. That's in Des Moines.
Yes, mm-hmm. In Iowa, surely. Well, Bob, we're certainly happy to talk to you. How do you happen to know about us? Do you once in a while pick us up on your transistor?
Oh, I listen to it about every night.
Well, good for you. That's swell. Do we keep you company sometimes when you're doing homework?
Yeah.
We're happy that we can do that because we hear from many young people. Lots of them frequently even drop into the studio, you know, when they're downtown of an evening, and they say the same thing, that they're kind of bored with homework, so they listen to us and get bored with us, and it's just a choice. All right, let's see, Bob. For $8.30, we're going to give you a question here. You like things, what would you like, a baseball question or a...
Well, okay.
All right, we'll give you a baseball question. Now, Sam Mealy was named baseball's manager of the year last season. Which American League team did Sam Mealy manage? You just won $8.30, old pal.
Easy as pie there, for heaven's sakes.
Hey, have you ever been here to Minnesota?
Oh, we go up there every year for fishing.
Well, I'll tell you, if you're up here, you say we, the family, if you're up here next fishing season, I certainly wish you'd stop in the WCCO studios, and you look for Dick Chapman or Randy Merriman, and just tell us you're Bob Yar, and that wins you lunch or something, okay?
Yeah, we'll give you a free can of worms there.
For
okay,
fishing.
Thank you.
Bob, stay tuned now, and Dick will talk to you on the private line. Very nice to talk to you, young man, in Elmhurst, Illinois.
Okay, thank you.
You bet. Well, isn't that interesting? You know, the thing that also pleases us, too, is the wide variety of age group, and it seems that radio, unlike if I, and I'm not putting down television in any sense of the word, but television, you know, whatever the program may be, finds a certain age bracket of people that like it. Radio seems to attract all age groups, and this makes me pretty happy.
Well, why not?
Because I'm getting older. Tomorrow I'll get another day older.
Say, how old are you going to be tomorrow?
Well, I'd like to tell you, if I'm not interrupting what you're doing.
Oh, no. You tell me after I get through, right?
All right.
Say, have you been wondering how you're going to help Santa Claus fill all those stockings around your house this year? Well, don't wonder anymore. Just head for the spot where you get your gift house stamps. Your filled gift house stamp saver books are like money in the bank right now, redeemable for gifts for everyone on your holiday shopping list. You know, there are 8 gift house stamp gift centers in the Twin Cities where you can redeem your gift house stamps for gifts so nice you'll want to keep them for yourself. The newest gift center is in downtown Minneapolis on the corner of 10th and Marquette. This new downtown center is filled with displays of beautiful gifts that reflect your good taste. While you're visiting that new downtown gift center, be sure to pick up your packet of bonus stamp coupons and register for the Christmas bonus contest. There is still 1 million gift house stamps to be won. They may also register for the contest at any merchant giving gift house stamps. Contest is limited to Minnesota residents only, but be sure to get in on this great, great contest.
By the way, we will not be back till Thursday evening. Tomorrow night will be the first basketball game as Minnesota Gophers start the season. Thank you very much. Oh, shucks, I'm sorry the time's up, and I just can't give you my age now, and what's the difference? I'll be older when we see you on Thursday. Chuckles, Chapman, Handy, Randy, and Abner, the Lee, saying thanks for your company, and now stay tuned there in Clear Channel Land for Jurgen Nash with the second half of Radio's Most Shining Hour.
Happy birthday, Dad!